Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
All right, here we go. Good evening and welcome to Jaguars Thursday from the HananiahAutos.com studio. And for the very first time in 20 years, I will say on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. And we're excited to be here, folks. Thanks so much for spending an hour of your evening with us. And obviously, football fans are getting geeked up and geared up for the NFL draft, which is 5 weeks from tonight. If that's possible, it will not seem like 5 weeks until this thing gets rolling. Now, before we get into football, you know my cohorts. Tony Baselli sits to my left. Tony, how are you tonight? You look like you've been playing golf.
I'm geeked up.
Well, yeah.
I mean, geeked up, that's a new one.
If there was
one.
A pizza here, you'd be geeked
that's
up.
Not a new one. That's an old one.
Yeah, but it's old but new. It's the, you know.
We're on a new station. We can
well,
bring
I know.
Back.
It was the music. I mean, very lively music, Joe. I've almost started breaking out a little dance, a little jig. I decided not to because I didn't want to pull muscle. But, yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's outstanding. It's going to be a lot of fun. 1010 is a great sports station. It's good to be on it. All the boys, all those guys are friends of all of ours.
Sure.
They always have been. And now we don't have to say all the bad things about him anymore.
Is it going to go both ways?
Whoa. We're not going to stop talking about those guys.
Right.
I mean, now we can just do it to their face.
Keep
you know,
everybody
sharp.
You know
what we need to do?
And I haven't introduced you officially, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Loggeman.
What we need to do is to maybe hold a mock draft of our own, okay? And what we'll do is we'll have a mock draft of all the 1010 XL personalities. And I'm not talking about drafting them based on their radio prowess. Have a mock draft based on where we think that they could play on a football team at all.
Well, I got a better idea. I say let's have a – I mean, have you ever seen Anchorman?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know they have the fisticuffs and all the different stations got in the middle and had a little battle of death. I say we have a show, King of the Ring. Everyone gets in the ring, and the last show that stays in the ring is the best show on 1010.
Do you know what everybody at 1010 is saying? How did we get these knuckleheads?
Trust me, I used to be over with the two biggest idiots, Jeff and Dan, in the morning. So, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're looking forward to
it. It's great. Listen, it's exciting because the great football fans that listen all day long to 1010XL 92.5 FM and now continue with Jaguar Talk, obviously just once a week right now during the season. But then once we get in season, you know, tons of shows, game days, and a lot of fun. So we're excited to be it. And I'm sure we'll be, the three of us will be on throughout the day talking to the different shows and talking to the guys throughout the year.
As we were today.
Yeah, all day. I heard you a bunch.
Yeah.
And I missed you. You were on this
morning.
I was
on this morning. Yeah.
Hey.
I announced us coming over.
You did?
Yeah.
Officially.
Breaking news.
Before you hit the golf course.
Nobody
right?
knew that.
No.
Hey, by the way, our debut this evening on 1010XL and 92.5 coincides with a private screening of Draft Day, Kevin Costner's movie about the NFL, the Cleveland Browns. Chad Johnson's going to join us from that in about 5 minutes or so. And it's a great segue because have you guys seen the towers in the south end zone now, the new supports that have been put up for the scoreboard? I was coming north on 95, and I just glanced back to my right. And remember, they're just vertical, right? And there's holes in them. And I said, what is that? I drove up, I pulled in, and I had to go park over in the south end zone in Lot J and just stare at how big the new scoreboard is going to be.
To give people an idea of how huge. Big that they're going to be, they have to bring a crane in.
The crane's giant.
To bring a crane in to put a crane together that's going to be big enough to be able to do the
300
work.
300 feet.
It's mammoth.
I mean,
and they're going to be on both end zones, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mammoth. But in the south end zone, they're up right now.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And on your way out tonight, you got to take a look at it because you've seen the picture. J.P. Shadrick tweeted it earlier, and I'll retweet it, and then you should retweet it. But the reality of it is that when you stand there and you look at it and you see how big it is, you realize these boards are the biggest in the world.
I look forward to when they have movie night here at Everbank on those new video boards. How cool would that be?
Well, two things. Movie night. Was it Draft Day, Kevin Costner? And that was
right.
For Jaguar 365 fans tonight.
So,
for ticket holders.
Ticket holders. The program. So sign up because there's tons of things like that all year round. And it's just going to be like overwhelming when those things come up.
Well, and to take it a step further.
And you can go to Jaguars.com and see the process and watch it online as well.
Had a chance to visit with Hussein Naki before we went on the air, and he's the guy who's working behind the scenes to get this ready, and he gave us a little look at, a little top-secret look at what they're planning. They've got a Hollywood company. I don't know whether folks know this or not. A Hollywood company that they are partnering with to put this on. So it's not just bigger pictures, right, or louder or more numbers. They are bringing in a company
the
to produce.
It is amazing.
It is cutting edge, you know, NBC Olympics kind of stuff. They are just working overtime.
There's so many different events that they're going to be able to host inside of Everbank.
It's,
you know,
phenomenal.
With those video boards. I mean, think of draft day. You could have a draft day party here in the stadium and have the video boards rocking. I mean, have all kinds of
monster
activities.
Monster trucks.
Oh, yeah. Gravedigger never looked so good.
Yeah, I just saw some still photos of what they're going to do. And
I love monster trucks. I've been several times. Love it.
The still photos.
That was very sarcastic.
I know. It's fun.
The still photos, guys,
good stuff.
Are off the charts. Just wait till the stuff is rolling live. So Chad Johnson's going to join us here in a couple of minutes. Give us an update from what's going on over at the draft day debut.
What are you looking at me like that for? It's very exciting. the monster trucks are very exciting. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, it's edge of the seat stuff.
The sarcasm is dripping.
There will probably be, and they announced today that it's the Tax Slayer Bowl now.
That's right.
But there's been the Tax Slayer Bowl for several years.
No. It's not the Tax Slayer. It was the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl. Now it's just the Tax Slayer.
Oh, Gator Bowl's out.
It's out. Now it's just Tax, and it's not even TaxSlayer.com. It's the Tax Slayer Bowl. So that it is a significant change.
Wow.
And I guess they got more money for it. But don't doubt that the fact that they get more money has something to do with the upgrades to the stadium.
It's all about the money, baby.
You bet. And you will probably see Florida State, you know, coming and playing a game here. You will probably see one of those bowl, and I know it's not the BCS anymore, but you're going to see some
championship stuff.
You're going to see some significant non-NFL stuff in here. It's going to raise the elevation of this entire city. It's going to be great. And if you haven't, folks, drive by and take a look at those towers in the south end zone.
And don't forget the swimming pool. I'll be hitting that.
I wonder how deep they're going to be.
The swimming pool?
Yeah.
I want to get my laps in before the game. Speedo.
I don't think there's any chance of that. They're called pools, right?
I don't know, but I'll say this. My goal next year before one of the games is to do a couple laps in the pool. Is that possible?
In a Speedo, please, no.
No, Speedo would really – I mean, listen, there's kids. I mean, we can't – it would scar people.
I'm not worried about kids. I'm worried about the adults.
Chad Johnson.
It would scar people for life.
Jaguar Senior Vice President of Sales is on the phone to save us from the Speedo conversation. Hey, can you set it up, Chad, so that Tony can at least dip in the pool before one game so he can talk about it on the air?
I want to go swimming.
Hey, listen, I think if we can get him on the boards in those pools, our fans will go nuts.
Oh, the ticket sales to women will go through the roof, Chad. I'm just telling you right now.
If you want
maybe a ladies' night, send a lot of tickets. I was thinking in a bathing suit, diving in and swimming across, and then getting out just as the water splashes off my
somewhere. Scott Massey is
my body.
Somewhere Scott Massey is thinking, I wonder if I can sell that to Nutrisystem.
What might work.
If I get a cut, I'm in.
Chad, how are you? What's going on over there at the theater? You ready for this draft day debut?
Hey, listen, it is. It's great. We've got some of our current players here. Some of our former alumni players are here, and fans are coming in, mingling with them. How cool is it to get to go watch a movie that hasn't been released with your current and former favorite Jaguar players?
Chad, explain to everyone, because I just said it a second ago, but it's the Jaguar 360 season ticket package.
Yeah, so,
talk about that.
So this is
365, I'm sorry.
This is the first event of our Jaguars 365 plan, which is really our way from a year-round way to engage our fans, give them value and interaction. So here we are, beginning of April, when traditionally it's a quiet time and we're not having a lot of interaction, providing a real cool event like this at the movie theater. So it's the launch for us, and we'll start planning events now throughout the entire spring and summer months.
Chad, let me ask you a question. So I'm a season ticket holder. I know Jeff's a season ticket holder as well. Brian is. I apologize. So I have a number of season tickets. Kids, family go all the time. Can I still sign up as a current season ticket holder to become a part of the Jaguar 365 plan?
Yeah. So really, anybody that is a season ticket holder gets this program for free. Not a dollar extra will you have to pay to be a part of the program. But we've had a few fans that didn't quite get the renewal in by our first deadline, which just passed here at the end of March. So we're giving everybody one more shot up until April 25th to renew their season tickets or sign up and buy new ones and automatically be part of this Jags 365 plan.
Now, do I get – and so do I need to sign anything special as a ticket holder or just call the season ticket office? Explain how – because I'm sure there's a number of people listening to us right now is like, why am I not at the movie because this is a cool event?
Exactly. Well, listen, this is a new program. With any new program, there's some time and some education that needs to take place. And a few of our fans had some questions. So first thing, you can always call our sales hotline. We've got a huge staff now to help execute and assist everybody in renewing. And next week, we're going to send out, if you remember, we sent out that online brochure about a month ago.
Right.
That had a lot of great information. We're going to resend that to everybody just to reinforce how they can be a season ticket holder or how they can renew and what all of these awesome events are. And I think when people see tomorrow, our fans here sitting with our current players watching a movie, they're going to jump up and say, I better do this right away because I don't want to miss the next one.
Which theater are you at?
We're at the AMC Regency Theater today.
Outstanding.
We've got a theater for about 500 people.
Nice.
So we have it full. There's already a whole group of people here waiting to come in. They're getting some autographs from our players.
Got the popcorn going?
Cool kickoff
popcorn, event. Drinks, everything?
We're giving them their refreshments. They're coming in without having to dip in their pocket for anything.
That's an amazing. I mean, right there alone, movie and popcorn. Can I leave the show now and go there because that's way more important.
Listen, I had to put my popcorn down to call in and talk to you guys. It was the first thing I did when I got here. You can't help it when you smell
extra butter,
popcorn,
extra butter.
I like the butter. No, you have to do it all the way through. You have to say, put a level in butter, level butter, level butter, and then you salt it. And you mix it all up, and it's outstanding.
Why you didn't get to be an offensive lineman for nothing.
I'm smart.
Hey, you know, Chet, you cannot open up a web page that is about the NFL and not see people mentioning the Jaguars and what's going on. And from a football perspective, they're talking about what Dave and Gus are doing. People in Jacksonville are incredibly excited by what they're seeing here at the stadium, what they're hearing from Shad and from Mark Lamping about what the game day experience is going to be like. Is that translating into ticket sales for you and your team?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. So our renewals of our season tickets have been great, and I think the Jags 365 plan has a lot to do with that. But one metric is always, you know, how many new season tickets are we selling? And I can tell you that we're well ahead of last year's pacing on new season tickets, which to me tells you fans are really excited about what we're doing. And listen, the experience in the stadium we've all talked about will be unbelievably different. The experience and the team on the field will be much better. And then with this Jags 365, the value you get is going to be different than anything you've ever had. So you put those three things together, and it's an amazing time to be a season ticket holder.
Hey, before we let you go back to your popcorn in the movie, what's the takeaway for everyone who's listening right now who wants to be a season ticket holder, who wants to be part of Jags 365? Where do they go? What do they do?
Yeah, so I think what I'd like them to do is give a call to our sales hotline. We have people there now tonight. We have people there every evening, all day long. And they can explain all the different
tickets. Hey, Chad, give them the number real quick.
Yep, I will. And that's 904-633-2000. If you call 904-633-2000, we have staff standing by. They can tell you about all the great packages, all the great benefits of Jags 365. And the sooner you join, the better it's going to be because we're doing these events all spring and all summer long. So as every day goes by, you'll miss out on an opportunity.
Hey, one more thing. I was telling the folks about the still photos that Hussein was showing us earlier, right before you left for the theater, of what the boards can look like. You've seen much more than that. I'm sure you've seen videos. Can you put into words what the experience of looking at these boards is going to be like for people who have never seen anything like this?
Well, you know, I've been lucky enough like you guys to travel around and see some of the other stadiums. And then when you look at what ours will be, the only thing I can tell you, I walked in and I just said, wow. And I stood there and stared because it's such a complete different experience. And the amount of energy that these boards can bring to a stadium and the amount of information they can bring to fans, there isn't anything to compare it to because they are the biggest in the world. But even the ones we've seen, it just completely transforms your experience.
You know what I envision one day for those video boards? And I'm being totally honest here. Chad, I mean, in the future, the greatest, most popular video game in sports is Madden Football, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, can you imagine having a Madden Bowl tournament on these video boards?
That might be hard.
Why?
You need some big plugs for the Xbox,
those,
right?
Those would be the championships. But, you know,
that's what I'm talking about.
Right, big plugs.
Yeah.
Think about when you got your
out
first
of the box
HD
thinking right
channel,
there, Jeff.
How different that was. This is a whole different world than anything we've ever experienced.
All right. Well, we're looking
I still think the
it.
Swing, me and the swimming pools would be better than
the Tony Baselli swim pack comes out soon.
Can you set that up, Chad? I mean, I'd like that to happen opening day.
Tony Baselli swim pack will be coming out soon.
There's got to be a way to benefit the Baselli Foundation in this as well,
or myself.
Oh, all right.
Tony's always looking for that.
And with that, we'll let you go with the last word. Senior Vice President of Sales, Chad Johnson.
Thanks,
Chad. Enjoy the movie, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. There you Bye-bye. Go. Chad Johnson joining us. When we come back from our first break here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM, we dive into football. We'll talk a little bit about the first round, but we're going to dive into where the Jaguars can really make some hay in the 2014 NFL Draft. This break on our new flagship for Jaguars football, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Jaguars Thursday from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Just one more note on the boards. You know, I mean, when they opened the new stadium in Dallas, which is now AT&T Stadium, everybody made such a big deal about those boards. I mean, rightfully so. They're huge. Andy Katz from ESPN is tweeting out photos because it's the first time they've played the Final Four in there. And I'm looking at them going, boy, and those are small. Just a couple years ago, they were the biggest.
Oh, they were huge.
Yeah,
they're
huge.
They're still big.
Not anymore.
Oh,
I
no,
mean,
they're big. But compared big. To what we're talking about here, it's a completely
no,
different
listen,
world.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, so here we go. Time to talk football. And yesterday, Jadeveon Clowney and the other guys up at South Carolina held their pro day. J.P. Yeah. Shadrick, as he and John Osher and Pat Cavanaugh have been for most of the significant pro days, have been there covering it for Jaguars.com. And J.P. joins us now.
And before J.P. jumps in here, I got to say, one of the most overhyped, most irrelevant, no information learned pro day in the history of mankind.
Yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, because there was nothing new?
Because anyone think Jadeveon Clowney wasn't going to be a freak and knock it out of the park?
No, but he just
it was a waste of time.
But did anybody think that Teddy Bridgewater's pro day would turn out to be so bad?
Well, I mean, that's different.
Or that Manziel's would be so bad.
First of all, you already confirmation saw it. Of a workout. You wanted to see him do positional drills. He didn't do anything time, but still, it was a media event. It's something to talk about with us. It's something to put on SportsCenter. It was good.
It's the NFL
filler.
Dominating
it's
the year.
Filler.
It's the NFL dominating
in the middle
the year.
Of a donut. It's nice funny. And tasty, but it's empty
but
calories.
Everybody wanted to know about his workout.
Did you hear anybody on 1010 today talking much about opening week of baseball? I didn't, and I had the station on and off most of the day. I mean, they were talking about Jadeveon Clowney.
I understand that. I'm not saying that people didn't follow it. I'm not saying.
But that's why we're talking about it.
I get that. I'm just saying it didn't tell us anything.
Who cares? It told us one thing, and that means that the NFL is so big, it's unbelievable.
Oh, we knew that, though.
And when J.P. Shadrick attends an event, you know it's big.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot, J.P., I'm sorry we cut you off. Where are you?
I'm at the AMC Regency Theater.
He's got popcorn in hand.
I thought you were going to come hang out with us tonight. I was going to see if you wanted to hang out after the show, but I guess not.
I'd like to thank you for the great lead into this segment, Tony. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, for telling basically saying don't listen to JP right
so
now.
So what do we have him on for?
Yeah, exactly. That's my question. That was what I was like. I was trying to say that without being rude. We don't need JP. Go watch your movie.
Do you know how you make your point, JP? You go back and get extra, extra, extra butter on your popcorn. And
you
enjoy every bite of it.
What time does the movie start? You think I can make it? What time are we starting?
7 o'clock.
Oh,
they'll probably be previewed, Tony.
Yeah, I could leave. During the last segment, I don't think anyone would care.
Hey, can you tell Baselli why he was wrong about yesterday's pro day?
We might even celebrate if Tony leaves for the last segment.
I'll be honest with you guys. I think Tony has a little bit of a point. You know, obviously in the quarterback pro days, at least there's something tangible you can kind of look at. Hey, they completed this. They look great throwing the ball. They look great moving out of the pocket, this and that. Well, the defensive lineman like Clowney, he's going to look the part. He's made for a pro day type of scene, but he's – just running back and forth. He's doing figure eight drills. He's doing picking up tennis balls, running over things.
That was impressive.
And he can do that. We knew that already.
But there is something I think that a lot of people, at least I have some curiosity about, because the interesting thing about pro days to me is that who's running the actual drills? You know, was there any Jaguar coaches that were involved in that? What other coaches from other teams were involved?
Bengals.
Who runs the individual pro workout days, JP? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I can tell you about yesterday's, and Todd Wash was involved a little bit in some of the drills yesterday. Romeo Crennel was running a few of them. A few different coaches would jump in with certain different things. You know, it is somewhat scripted in that, you know, they have certain drills they want to get in. They didn't get them all in yesterday. They were cut short on time. They wanted to do some pass rushing things. Todd Wash told us that after the practice was over, but they just couldn't get to it yesterday. So, yeah, Wash was involved, a few other teams as well, and it's just, you know, he didn't do a lot at the combine. So this is his time to really stand out and make sure that, yeah, people were saying he could do all these things and run well and turn his hips and go back and
turn
and go
the
back
hips.
To coverage and such.
Got to turn the hips.
And he did that. He didn't run the 40. He didn't have to. He ran a, 4.53 in Indy.
That's
he
right.
stood on that, obviously. So he's 6'7". He's 270. He can run a 4.53. He's supposed to be good enough like this. And that's the whole point. He was.
Well, you know, I think
last
dangerous.
Week's pro day workout, Johnny Manziel had, you know, the governor of the state of Texas, the former President Bush there in attendance. Was there any governors, political dignitaries at Clowney's workout?
Not that I recognize.
Was Steve Spurrier there?
He was there, yes. And remember, you know, in the past.
He was backtracking, wasn't he? He was backtracking.
Maybe a little, I think that's been smoothed over a little bit. And, of course, he had, look, six other guys working out, too. It wasn't just Clowney that was leaving and that were working out. So he was there. He was in fine form, of course, as always. But the scene at Manziel's, we were at both for Jaguars.com. I've never seen anything like the one at Manziel's. I mean, you got President Bush, you got Barbara Bush walking their dog in the indoor facility.
It's important.
It's unbelievable. The whole thing was crazy. He walks out with music on. There's no music yesterday. Totally different scene at 8 a.m. than it was yesterday. But I'm going to tell you, obviously, just seeing him in person, seeing Clowney in person, all 6-7 of them walk out there, it's really impressive. Really impressive. And I know, Tony, you're a big guy.
You should be used to it. You see me walking through the doors all the time, JP. What's the difference?
That's right. So seeing that big of a man move that fast.
I've never moved that fast. That's a good point.
No.
Two things. One, I think these are dangerous almost. Because you go to these things and you know he's really good at these activities, no pads on and everything else. And so the fear, and that's why I think it's a waste of time, because you don't learn anything. If anything, you get so enamored with the guy and what he can do by jumping over 7 bags. I saw that online. Yeah. No one's ever done this before. I'm like, come on, that's stupid. Yes, they have, first of all. But you know, so you get enamored with him, and then you forget to watch the tape. Now, in this case, his sophomore tape's really good. His junior tape's so-so, and there's a lot of reasons, so maybe it's not as dangerous. But I always worry about these freakish athletes that can do freaky things, and personnel guys go, and they're famous for going, like, falling in love, like the beautiful girl that
everyone
walks
by.
Everyone
goes back to Mike Mamula.
My God.
That's the not, one
hey,
people
hey,
point
hey, out. I didn't watch his sophomore tape. I watched his junior tape. And I was totally impressed with what he's done.
Forget Mike Goldston, the kid who got drafted from
Vernon
the Jets.
Goldston from Ohio State.
Look, he's so
2008,
pretty.
2008, the same year as Derek
Harvey. And then the scouts sit on this, and they justify their pick. And then if he can't play, but he had great hips, and he could run fast. Who cares?
Well, I think the biggest part of these days, Tony, is, I don't know if Clowney could have helped himself.
No.
He is what he is. Everybody knows that.
Could have hurt himself, maybe.
If he would have had a bad day like Bridgewater didn't have a great day a couple weeks ago. We were there for that one, too. Well, it causes people to go back and just double-check some tape to see if something was a trend they might have missed if they saw the pro day.
But JP,
10, 15, 20% of the evaluation, maybe. It's one day's workout.
JP, that's still really, if you think about it, it's stupid for us to even say that. What did he do where he could have a bad day? What could he have done? I remember my pro day.
I didn't have a pro day.
Okay, I know, but you know Carrick. I mean, it's only for like the really top guys. I remember my pro day.
Shaking my head.
When they came
out.
What
the hell does that mean?
We'll talk about it later. And they put me through all these drills. Now, the president wasn't there. The first lady with her dog was not there. Nobody was there but
Snoop Dogg was at yours,
Snoop
right?
Snoop Dogg. We rapped afterwards, hung out. But anyways, it was no risk. I was going through drills with no pads on air. I mean, really, what am I going to trip? I can't walk. I mean, I can't get a stance. I mean, that's not a risk for Jadeveon Clowney. There was no risk.
No, but they're not so much. I don't think when they get what in a situation like that, they're not so much of. I mean, they are looking at some of the athleticism and stuff, but they also want to see how the player interacts. They want to get to know him more. I know, like when I was coming out, and that was obviously a long time ago, 1989. Did a lot of individual workouts. You didn't really have a planned workout day.
Well, I guess that's what I did too. I don't really. That's what I'm talking about.
That all the pro guys came in at, and so those individual workouts, which the agents I think got smart, and then instead of, I mean, cause I think I did like 15 individual workouts for coaches, and I might do one on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, probably leading up.
But
to
it wasn't hard.
No, it wasn't hard, but I think. When you're in a one-on-one situation with a player and you're a scout or a general manager or a combination of coaches and scouts, I think you can evaluate a little bit more when you get to spend individual time. But with a pro day to where all these people are in tennis, I mean, I'm with Tony in some respect in that you don't get a lot out of it, but you also get to see how a person responds in those different type in that type of situation.
All right, let's narrow it
down. So you're evaluating
Can I ask one more thing?
Sure.
Say one thing. JP, because JP was there. Did you guys talk to Steve Spurrier?
No, actually.
Oh, you did? I was wondering, I mean, did you notice that he, like, pull a muscle because he was backpedaling so fast because of the comments he made during the season about his work ethic, and then he was trying to cover himself, as I saw the comments, you know, trying to make it up about, you know, make good to Jadeveon about his actual work ethic. I don't know, if you were there for that.
Well, I know he made the national rounds and such. He was on NFL Network when we showed up at the stadium, and it was on ESPN a little bit later. I remember Sal Palantonio bringing a photo down from Spurrier's office that was autographed by Clowney to Spurrier. So just recently, hey, thanks for making me a Gamecock and all this. So they're trying their best, I guess, publicly to get it.
Yeah, make it better.
Under the bridge.
Give everyone an update. I mean, it was during the season where – I mean, Spurrier basically questioned his work ethic and questioned his commitment to the team.
Yes.
I mean, with that, I mean,
that caused a lot of ripples in the NFL community last fall.
Absolutely. Part of that was due to an injury that he had. Spurrier said, well, I don't really know what's wrong.
Their ribs.
Kind of
yeah.
He questioned them.
But sure. I mean, a lot of that is also Steve Spurrier.
I'm just saying he backpedaled really, really fast.
And a player that was probably had more attention on him than any other college football player, period.
All right, let's narrow this down. I believed all along that once he got through this pro day, people would have seen him and he would vault to number one and stay there.
I think he's been there all along.
Because he's been the best prospect when you look at the entire body of work.
Where do you put him if you're the Texans, though, if you play a 3-4?
That's where I'm going. Is he the number one
anywhere
draft?
You want?
No, I disagree,
regardless.
Jeff. You're wrong.
You're crazy.
No, you're crazy. You are. He is not a guy who can drop into coverage. He's not a space
player.
You're not
going to ask him.
Oh yeah, if you're 3-4, you're going to make him play.
Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You're going to make him pay.
And look at their outside linebacker Lamar Woodley. You think Lamar Woodley can drop into coverage better than
Jadeveon
Clowney? I think you're crazy.
He's a different body. At 6'7", it is hard to control your body in space.
Height doesn't have anything to do with it. I was 6'5" and I could drop into coverage.
And you were terrible in coverage.
I was really good in coverage.
You're so full of it. You're terrible.
Put it this way. When you have good football players, you're not worth your pay as a coach if you don't find a way to utilize the talents of a Jadeveon Clowney.
All right, so is he number one, whether it's the Texans or someone trading up?
He's number one.
And if you're in that mindset, if he doesn't necessarily fit what they do there.
I hope they don't.
I was going to say, if you're the Texans, is there anyone else worth taking?
He's not getting to us, let's put it that way.
But I don't believe that. I think he's going at the worst.
The Rams are going to take him.
Interesting.
I think either team would be foolish not to take him.
JP, did you see him drop? I mean, I heard that he wasn't great dropping the coverage. JP, are you there still?
Teddy Bruschi said he had talked to him, and you know he asked him, did you work on this? Did you work on dropping back? He's like, no. Not really. And Bruschi seemed to like what he
Bruschi
was doing.
Said he looked great.
Oh, well,
what
did.
Do you know? You're an offensive lineman.
Stick
to what you know.
I know.
Okay. Can we talk about Jake Matthews after the break so Tony can get involved
and
actually know what he's
talking
about?
Well, I want to talk about the offensive line anyway because I think that's a crucial area
JP,
for the Jags, if not
it's
at
a waste
number
of time,
three.
Wasn't it?
But certainly through the draft. JP, enjoy the movie. Have extra, extra, extra butter.
I will.
Courtesy
and check
of
out
Tony
Jaguars.com for all the coverage from Clowney. Jaguars.com. All the recap coverage is on there now, guys.
There
thanks,
you go, folks.
JP.
From Jaguars.com, JP Shadrick joining us here this evening on our maiden voyage through the waters of 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. And we're back with more Jaguars Thursday after this from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, here we go. Second half hour underway here from the HananiahAutos.com studio on 1010XL and 92.5. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Buscelli along with Joe Fortunato and John Dineen, our broadcast crew here for you on a Thursday evening. A bit of news today. The Jaguars will start their offseason program on April 21st. Their OTAs, on-the-field activities, will be May 27th through the 29th, June 2nd and 3rd and 5th, the 9th and 10th, and the 12th and 13th, and then the mandatory minicamp is June 17th through the 19th. So those dates set in stone now for Gus Bradley and his team in their off-season program.
That is so late. It is so late to start the weightlifting. Remember, we used to start the end of March?
Yeah, we started in March.
That's like a month later, but that's CBA stuff, right? I mean, that's why they do it now.
I don't know if
there's only a certain amount of weeks you get in the offseason.
Maybe that's what it is, but I remember when we were doing it, the Players Association meeting that was in Hawaii was typically
I'd always miss
the first couple days of it, so it's starting more than a full month later.
I guess if you're a player, though, you got to work out on your own then, because I don't think that's enough. Is that enough time to get ready?
No. I mean, players work out all – I mean
– No, but back when we did it, Jeff, I mean, think about it. You typically – because we were in the playoffs after the first year, and so we were done mid-January to late January. And then you typically took most of – rest of January, all of February, and maybe of just doing light stuff, or just kind of letting your body heal and some light stuff. And then you really didn't start hitting it hard until the –
March
off-season program.
I don't think
you really can do that now. You have to hit it hard before you start the off-season program.
I don't think you do. I think
April 28th. I mean, or 5th, or whatever it is. That's a long time. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty far in because you think about it.
You have
May, June, and July. It's only 3 months before training camp.
Yeah, but I mean, when I say you hit it hard, I'm not talking about you're not going out and running, you know.
I'm talking about the lifting more than
40 gassers.
Well, the running's
stupid.
And
the running stuff.
You can get in shape in 6 weeks. I'm talking lifting.
Yeah, the lifting stuff of building the core strength and all that. I mean,
you got to start earlier.
I typically didn't take more than 2 weeks off. Any point in 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, not. And trust me, I really didn't need to take off 2 weeks. I mean, I was not a strapping guy. You know, it's not like I was Tony Bracken. I mean, Tony Bracken's used to show up and hadn't done anything
except throw hay
in January, February, March. And would show up for the workouts in March, and he'd be out lifting everybody.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes God just smiled on other people more than others.
He got a big smile.
Yeah, he got a big smile. I mean, he was a very blessed man, strength wise.
All right, so let's
athletic-wise.
If Clowney goes first, there's a really good chance that Sammy Watkins goes second, and those are two guys that we've talked a lot about for the Jaguars.
You think the Rams are Sammy Watkins?
Well, if they can't trade back, and if the quarterbacks aren't generating the kind of interest, trading back might be difficult. Watkins is that kind of explosive playmaker. Don't forget, the Rams are picking
again
at 13, so they can get a tackle there. So my question is to you, if those two guys are gone and you're sitting there
three? Watkins and Clowney.
I don't think that's going to happen, but go ahead.
All right, well, if it is, right?
Then you take Khalil Mack.
Yeah, I agree.
All day long.
You both think he's that kind of a playmaker?
Top three guys, period, take him. Easy decision.
Why? What is it that he brings to the table?
Athletic, instinctive.
Can he back him?
Can play the Leo.
Yeah, he plays in space. He plays in space already.
He would be an absolute factor player immediately for this football team.
Yeah, I agree with Jeff. I mean, I haven't watched a ton of tape on him, but, I mean, what I've seen.
And he can play linebacker, which is probably one of the weaker positions that the Jaguars are trying to rebuild right now. So, here's a guy that could play linebacker. He could play Leo. He could do a lot of different things.
Would you entertain the thought of Jake Matthews?
No, I would not. He's an outstanding player. I think that's who the Rams are going to take. I think the Rams are taking one of those two tackles.
They've been linked to both of those.
I mean, they have to.
But Watkins' name is there, too.
It was terrible. Jake Long blew his knee out. He was already beat up at all. I mean, they're going to take somebody.
But
they're
taking
a tackle.
They can get one at 13,
I think,
too.
Who are they going to get at 13? They're not getting
Robinson.
They're not getting Robinson or they're not getting Robinson or Matthews. If they value those guys higher than everyone else, I think you got to take them.
The most interesting question that would be posed for the Jaguars, in my opinion, is if the Jadeveon Clowney is gone and then the Rams pick Jake Matthews and the Jaguars are sitting there with Sammy Watkins and Khalil Mack.
Easy. Sammy Watkins.
Who do you take?
I take Sammy Watkins without even blinking.
It's an interesting question.
Touchdown maker.
You got to score points on this team. This team, I mean, who is going to score points next year for them? I mean, who's the home run throw? Who is the guy? I mean, Toby Gerhart now gives you more explosion in the backfield. He is a very athletic. I mean, he's a guy who has that ability to break big plays, and he can catch the ball in the backfield.
I hope Denard Robinson develops.
Yeah, Denard Robinson. I mean, come on. I mean, listen.
But, I mean, you need more.
You need more. I mean, outside, you have no Blackman for sure until eight games in,
right.
I think.
Hey, look.
And he is not. He is a more of a possession style guy than home run threat. He's a good player, very good player.
Wrong. Great player.
I don't know about great. Very good.
Great player.
A. Sanders has
a lot. Did you watch the Rams game?
Yeah, I don't think he's. He's not a take.
He was there, wasn't he?
He's not. Wait a second. You're trying to tell me that. I think Justin Blackman's a very good player, but you're telling me he is a take the top off big play receiver in the NFL.
But you don't have to be a take the top off.
No, but big play guy. He is.
He's a great 67 yard touchdown was a big play.
He's a great player.
He's a number one, a 1A receiver in this league.
I don't think you have to be a 1A to be a great player. Anquan Boldt's a great player. I mean, he's not a one.
Anquan Boldt's not a great player anymore.
Not anymore, but in his prime.
And he was
Anquan,
a one, Jeff. He caught 100 balls a year forever for Arizona.
He didn't take the top off.
But he was
defense.
A number one guy, great player. You're telling me, maybe we differ. I don't think Justin Blackman is proven to be a 1A receiver in this league yet. He's a 2A, 1B.
He's shown flashes in a very short amount of time. That in those flashes,
a 67 yard touchdown.
That he can do that.
In St. Louis this year.
That's one play.
Well, it's a big play, and you were asking about explosive plays.
I think
14 catches in
Are you
in
trying to argue with the guy that was telling you that J.J. Watt is a great player, and you said, J.J. Watt's not a great player?
He is
what
now.
Are you talking about?
He was not at the time. He was a good player at the time, and now he's a great player.
Well, he's
player.
Got the stamp of approval.
Hey, trust your eyes, Tony.
Hey.
I trust my eyes.
Let me pose a question to you. I spoke today at the St. John's.
You got a plaque.
Yeah, it was nice of them, yeah. St. John's County.
Are you going to hang that up? All I want to know, are you going to hang that up anywhere in your house?
Well, now, see, that's disappointing for me to have to say that on the air that my wife will not let me hang my own plaques. That's why
I
bring
them
here.
You have an office.
Now, wait a minute. Can we at least let Brian Tony tell everybody what it is and where he was before you?
I love the plaque.
Can we turn his microphone off for a minute?
I spoke today, and a big thank you to the St. John's County Sports Club down at Gypsy Cab Company, which is a great place. On the island, and I got asked an interesting question. First of all, I got asked a lot about you two.
I see your plaque.
I got asked a lot about you two and how you get along on game day. But the next question I got, and I want to pose it to you. If the Jaguars were mandated by Commissioner Roger Goodell that they had to take a quarterback at number three,
what?
Who would you take? I know it's an esoteric question, but who would you take?
Esoteric. That's what you get at the St. John's County Sports Club. Esoteric
you get
questions.
Esoteric questions. Well, it was an eclectic
group of
people.
Big word for Tony
people.
There, esoteric.
All right. But the question still stands. Who would you take if you had to? Because then we'll get a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about offensive line.
I trust my eyes. I'd take Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, what I saw on game film, the guy can play.
I'd hate to agree, but I'd probably do the same thing.
See, folks?
He's trying to find an argument to take somebody else.
I can't.
All right.
I just want to know where does this go in your office? You have an office. You'll hang this in the office?
Yes.
It's a nice plaque.
It'll go.
Thank you.
They were nice people.
Very good. Those
and
are
enjoyed,
very nice
it, enjoyed it very much. Lots of great questions, but the one about what if they had to take a quarterback, I said,
who would you take?
Probably Bortles. I mean, being smart. I mean, down there I told him Manziel, and of course they all loved it.
So you lied to them.
Well, I played to the crowd.
I just want to make sure we get this right. So when you get Brian Sexton to come speak to you, he will lie to you.
I changed my mind.
I wouldn't take – don't give him a plaque. He's a liar, people. He'll say whatever you want to hear.
The anti-Vic Ketchman right there.
I mean, my goodness.
Vic Ketchman would have told him exactly what they didn't want to hear, and you want to tell them what they want to hear.
I just wanted to have fun with it. But in terms of the quarterback, in terms of the guy with the most upside long-term, it would be Bortles. But in terms of fun, and I told him that, in terms of fun, it would be Manziel.
You're a
liar.
It
was a fun question. Well, he just did. He gave me my plaque back. All right, we'll take a break. You're listening on 1010XL and 92.5 FM from the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Join the Jaguars Kids Club for an exclusive invitation to the Kids Club Combine this month at the Florida Blue Practice Fields. It's a great way for kids aged 4 to 12 to show off their football skills. Visit JaguarsKidsClub.com to get signed up today. All right,
are we sure you should be reading that card?
JaguarsKidsClub.com?
Yeah, well, kids, I mean.
I have kids.
I know, but you're a liar. Do we want to teach our kids to lie?
Stop.
I mean, should not Jeff or I, who have obviously more character and moral fiber than you, read that card next time, maybe?
Well, I will say that Tony did read
it was the good too,
card
wasn't it?
Last week and had a very fine read with
it was
one
good.
Of the cards.
The good. One that you always
gave,
screw up.
Gave him one.
The one you always mess up.
Which one is that?
The
Show
one
me.
With a lot of words. It's the one
you see what I put up with
you
folks?
You fumble all the time.
Yeah, I do. Well, okay.
The liar.
And Michael McCurry got by you all the time, too. It happens. We have those moments.
Never.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. It's called fun. It's called a little showmanship. Okay, everyone focuses on the first round. I mean, that's obviously, it's the prime time.
That's where the appeal
it's
is.
It's where the sex appeal is. But it's not necessarily where the Jaguars are going to make the most hay for their football team. They have 11 picks. Obviously, only one of them in the first round. So one of the other questions I was asked today, and I answered it honestly, is where do you see the Jaguars going, you know, rounds two and rounds three? Part of it was because your buddy Mel Kiper came out with a, you know, a three-round what each team should do.
What'd he say? After he, you know, he pronounced Clowney as a Hall of Famer. It was great. Thanks, Mel.
No, he did not say he was a Hall of Famer.
He reiterated that Logman was the worst pick ever, like he did early, and then Clowney was a Hall of Famer.
That would not surprise me, but he did not say that Clowney was a Hall of Famer. What he said was is that Jadeveon Clowney would have nobody to blame but injury or himself if he's not a future Hall of Famer.
We don't know that. I mean, I've watched – I mean,
well, here's what Kiper said.
He
said,
much,
he said so. Khalil Mack, which both of you echoed. He believes Derek Carr will be there at 39 and that he would be the second-round pick at quarterback. And the third-round quarterback, he has Allen Robinson, the wide receiver from Penn State. You know, my thought, though, was this is a draft that's got a lot of players in it. Wide receiver obviously makes sense in the top three. But from what I've gathered in recent years, if you're going to get a linebacker who's going to be an impact player for you on your field as a rookie, you got to get him in the first three rounds. Does it seem to you that that's going to be a position the Jaguars are going to be targeting? Now, again, don't know what their board is.
A lot of it depends on what you do at three.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, if you get Khalil Mack, but you also are going to need depth at linebacker. It's one of the weakest spots on the roster.
Yeah, but you're not going to pick for depth in the second round. You're picking a starter for the second round.
You're picking in rounds one, two, three, and possibly even four this year. And to me, you're picking starters. But I would not be surprised with all the extra picks. And I know David Caldwell talked about how he would like to get one extra pick and go to have 12. I would not be surprised if they package some of the picks, you know, that they have.
Move up.
Yeah, they've got, what, two in the six.
Three in the fourth.
Two in the fourth, three in the fifth.
Three in the fifth.
You trade some of them to move up maybe into round three.
Get another guy who can
and
start.
And all of a sudden you may be looking at getting another starter. You know, maybe his vision is, okay, if I got 12 picks, then I could get back into those top three rounds at some point very easily by trading down with the first pick or possibly by packaging some picks later on.
I would not pick a quarterback with a second round pick because I think you need to pick starters, guys who are going to start for you.
Give me a guy.
I don't – I mean –
Round three, who would you pick?
I don't know who it's going to be. I pick positions. I pick linebacker. You need more depth at linebacker round three. I would pick – I'd look at
– How about offensive line? Is that where you'd go line?
Absolutely. Interior offensive line in the second round, center guard. You can get a good player there. I think you need a possibly looking at a tight end, a move tight end, a stretch tight end, a guy who can stretch the field, possibly at one of those first three rounds, fourth round guy. Listen, but with that being said, it wouldn't surprise me if Carr is there that they pick him. I think they like Carr a lot.
Well, they had him at the Senior Bowl, so they got exposed to him.
And if you look at Carr, and there's a lot to like about him. Now, his brother did not have a lot of – he struggled.
Now, you spent time with his brother. The apple never falls too far from the tree. What type of personality did the Carr that you played with have?
David was a great guy, nice guy, very kind, but – he was got married very young, and his family moved to Houston with him, and I thought that was a problem because I don't think David
his family like parents and
brothers,
everybody,
sister. I don't know if it's everybody, like the whole, and they'd be at practice every day.
That's not cool.
And so I think what it did is, and I'm not saying this is why David. I mean, David was put in a tough situation starting day one on an expansion team that didn't have a great anything, and so he got beat up a lot. So, but it was. I think it made it hard for guys for him to connect because, you know, it's just that's not the atmosphere or the culture you want.
When you got done at the
– you should be hanging out with the guys.
Facility, like, go have a beer with your boys, right?
Just come in the locker room, hang out with the offensive linemen, you know, get around.
He didn't do that.
Take us to – you know, take the guys to dinner and stuff like that. You're the first pick. No, he didn't. And I think that Hammer – and not to say he was a great guy. Nice guy, but I think that hampered the whole situation. I've been told Derek's very different. I mean, Derek's very different than that. And the other thing I think you have to be intrigued with Derek Carr is he played in the pro system with Pat Hill when Pat Hill was the quarterback and excelled as a pro system quarterback. And then I don't know who the new coach who came in to Fresno State when Pat Hill got fired, who brought in the spread. And he operated a high level in the spread in 1 year. And so he obviously has shown the propensity to be able to play in multiple systems, pick them up, and excel at a high level. That is interesting. He has a big arm. The one knock on him that you hear a little bit is when he played top-notch team like USC in the bowl game, who rushed him. His feet were all over the place. He didn't look great. He didn't set himself. Is that because he just was getting his head knocked off? Or did the pressure show a flaw? Who knows? I think they'd like him.
Second-round pick, is that what they –
I mean, he's been getting some action from teams like Cleveland, and they've got two first-round picks, right? So you could see him in the bottom of the first round, but the Titans had him in this week as well. You know, they've got a big number they've got to cover with Jake Locker next year.
They're not going to pay that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, Carr's a guy who –
That number's like $12, $15 million.
$15 million.
Locker's not worth
He's got
that.
A big arm. So, you know, maybe he climbs even higher than 26.
If it was a three-year deal for $15 million, Locker, you might want to do
it. Derek Carr is one of the best arms in the
draft. Oh, yeah, I watched him a couple times last year.
He has a pro arm. And so I don't think take a guy at the second round. Unless
you'd have to take him at the top of the second round.
You have to take him at the top of the second, and you better – I mean, I think you have to – if I'm Caldwell, I go back to where this team is. And so I have to say – a guy, if he slids to the second round, a quarterback does, I have to have him as a mid-first round grade, and I can't pass up on him because I have him here. And maybe they have Derek Carr as a mid-round guy. We don't know. Just because the talking heads and so-called experts say it's Bortles, Manziel, and Bridgewater. Those are the three best, and then these guys. Caldwell could have Derek Carr as number one. We don't know.
The two interesting guys to me are the guys that were hurt. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Mettenberger and
Murray.
Both ACLs.
Mettenberger is very interesting.
Mettenberger and Murray. And
is it Mettenberger or Mettenberger?
Mettenberger.
I watched
and he's a big kid. 6'5",
I didn't watch him on film yet. That's one guy I haven't looked at yet. But
he
slings
it.
Murray can sling it.
Go watch the LSU-Georgia game.
Both of them.
Go watch that game.
Yeah. One of the great college football
games. Great college game and watch both of them
I'd
sling
be picking one of those guys.
In the second?
No.
Later, yeah.
No.
Mettenberger might be
I actually
there
like
second.
That better. I think he'll be in the third. I like that better of taking a Mettenberger in the third or fourth round if he slides down there, which he could.
Mettenberger,
because
Murray, either one, third, fourth round.
Now, you know, whenever you Murray's not
him,
very big.
That's okay. Like, Russell Wilson's not big. Hey, Johnny Football's not big.
I wouldn't take him. I would take him in the first round.
I would.
You would take Manziel three.
I'm kidding. I'm lying.
Got the plaque today.
Oh, I forgot you're a liar.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, Joe.
How much time did you spend in the sun today?
A lot. Joe, can we make sure we don't let him read the kids' cards anymore?
How about go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion?
That's better. Much better.
See your Southern Ford dealer today. A proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford
typically
says go for the – I'm an Eagle Scout boy.
Yeah,
so let's just make sure.
That's war off.
It was called
you wouldn't fit in one of them, by the way.
Oh, I understand that. That's why I won't read – I probably shouldn't read that one. But the bottom line is that usually people over 18 are buying cars. So they've already formed more of their characters. So the fact that you're a liar doesn't matter.
Eagle Scout, pal. What do you put up against that?
That means nothing.
It's called fun.
Your character and your actions show me who you are, not some badge that says, I'm an Eagle Scout.
It's all about character.
Yeah. You might want to go back and read the manual again.
Is there something in there with the Boy Scouts about?
Lying.
Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, brave, clean, and reverent.
About.
Yeah. And fun. Have a good night, everybody.